Life's Inside Track with Ken and Yetta Decker of the Decker Team. They'll share life experiences, tips, techniques, thoughts, and tools to help you create life exponential. Life's Inside Track with Ken and Yetta Decker.
Moving forward with the Decker Team. Moving forward together with the Decker Team.
Hello, this is Ken Decker.
And I'm Amber Decker.
And we're excited to be with you and welcome you to another episode of the Inside Track, where we share techniques, thoughts, and tools that we all need, we all deserve, you, I, everyone, to turn our house into a home where our families thrive and we live our best life possible. Now, you may not have heard of Amber. Amber is my daughter in love, as we finally kindly say. And Amber married Ryan. That's how you got into the family, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And what we're going to consider on this show is how to handle change as you, in your family, as you start to follow your passion, right? We hope that people have passion, because when you follow your passion, you have more energy. So you took a risk. What did you do recently to follow your passion?
I bought my dream dog. Well, our family got a dream dog. And then I decided I love them so much, I wanted one in every color. they come in six colors. So my dream was to breed them and to just see other people get these little puppies in their homes. And then to get the land that we needed for a kennel, we ended up buying a giant 21-acre property.
Okay. So let's back the bus up a little bit. You are trained and educated as a school teacher.
Yes, I taught high school and junior high for years.
Okay. And that would have been a relatively safe income stream, right? Teaching?
Yes, it was the 9-to-5. Well, teaching is a lot more than that. But, you know, you had the teacher's pension in Ontario, which is, you know, one of the best. And summers with the kids and... So, yeah, I had a really good gig going.
Yeah, people probably thought you were already living the dream life, right?
Yeah.
But your passion wasn't in teaching.
It was for a while, but then when we got little kids, it was either my students or my kids. It was really hard to have enough time in the day for putting them first, and it just was really causing our family life to suffer.
Okay, so kids can put like a monkey wrench into the gears, right?
Yes.
Of the family and the way things are operating. Okay, and you decided, now this dog you're talking about that comes in six colors, they don't know what kind of dog, so describe what you fell in love with.
It was just a dog that I always loved as a kid. The breed's called Chow Chows. They have these big, beautiful, fluffy coats. And it was actually one of Ryan's dream dogs too. So when we decided to get one, we'd never even seen one. When we first picked up our puppy, that was the first time we saw the breed and we were like, this is wonderful. And I don't even consider myself a dog person, to be honest. But we just fell in love with these little animals.
Okay. And so you bought one dog and then shortly thereafter, it was almost like a therapy dog. It was important for your family,
right?
It
was. It helped out every single member of our family in a different way.
Right. And then you got a second one because you loved the first one so much. That was where some of your family might have gone, are they crazy?
Oh, definitely.
Like, and we weren't in a big house. Too.
Yeah. We weren't in a big house. Some people were like, dogs, where's this coming from?
And then after that, you said you wanted to breed them. So you took the chance and you brought in some breeding dogs, because neither one of those dogs were breeding dogs, right? You had them fixed so that they...
Yep. And we had to import them from other countries to get these certain bloodlines. And it was all new.
Yeah. Okay. And so at some point, your house didn't work for that passion of breeding the chow chows, right?
Yep. To stay in the zoning, we had to move to a different area of the city. And so that got us on the search for looking at different properties.
Okay. And so now you took a risk, you went after your passion, and you moved to this, you said 20 acres, something like that, right?
Yeah.
Nobody knows exactly how big it is. it's pretty big. Like when I look at the field, it's like, it's huge.
Yeah.
Okay. And that must have turn things upside down for your family?
Oh my goodness. It was really a challenging season that we went through, and I did not expect it to be as hard as it was. We listed our house in March, and so everything got packed up in boxes, and we ended up having to, with the dogs, and family, and we have some family members that find it very difficult to deal with change. And so we ended up actually moving in with Ryan's sister, my sister-in-law, and for a month. And we didn't expect that, but
why did you move in with them?
We wanted to keep the house in pristine condition. Okay. So, and then with changing the house around for showings and things.
And how many dogs did you have at that time?
Oh, we had five.
Five dogs. Okay. So you had five dogs, two kids living in a relatively small house. It wasn't huge, right?
I want to say 1,200 square foot.
1,200 square feet.
Yeah.
And so you decided best to move out, make the house perfect, and then move out.
Yeah.
And then let the showings begin.
Yeah. So we were like, during showings especially, we had to, put all the dogs, find a spot for them.
Right. So there were challenges in chasing after your dream, right? Your passion?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Anything else that came up for you as a challenge in those times where I guess you had to buy the house and then you took the risk of buying the farm before you sold the house?
Yes. Right? And in this case, we had to, and without conditions, in order to get the price we needed to be able to afford it.
So you had to sell your house.
Yeah.
There's a pressure cooker.
It was really nice because I really trusted my realtor.
Was that Ryan?
My husband is our realtor. Well, everyone really helps to know you guys so well. And I was like, if anyone could do this, they could do it.
All right. So you were mentioning that other things came out of this move, right? Like it wasn't just, okay, door-to-door move. We did sell the house in time for the closing on your other one. And then you had to port your mortgage. There were some struggles there. And so lots of challenges, right? And you got to feel firsthand the behind the scenes of making a move work.
Definitely.
And now you moved in. Well, you didn't move in, did you? What was the house like?
The house was a major do-it-yourselfer that just was not a healthy space to move into. It was quite old. So we moved into a camper on our property that we bought we thought we were only going to be there for 3 months, and we ended up getting in just after the big snow fell.
Okay, so there like over 6 months.
Yeah.
So another lesson is like, hope for the best, but plan for the worst.
Yeah. And you know what? Things just kept going wrong. We'd hit a water line accidentally. I think the whole summer we had running water for a few days. definitely hot water for a few days.
And you
days.
Didn't have a septic system either,
Oh,
did
yeah.
you?
And then our Wi-Fi were having problems. So I'd have to go other place. We didn't have laundry. So we were like depending on relatives to do our laundry.
Wow. Okay.
Showering at relatives.
Hmm. All right. So we're going to continue in the next segment. There's going to be some good news in all of this, right? But maybe you're asking yourself the question, what passion of mine have I been putting on the back burners that maybe it's time to start talking to family about? So we're honored to be positioning you to build wealth wisely because it's about much, much more than just money. We've created for you free access to over 603 Inside Track episodes on our YouTube Decker Team channel that provide insight on real estate, insider tips, making house home, building wealth, and simply whole living. You get exactly what you need when you need it from the comfort of your home, office, or on the go. So, Amber, we're going to explore in this segment what to do when you cannot do it by yourself, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think sometimes when we have a dream or a passion about something, we like to think we can do it by ourselves, right? I know my independence muscle is way overdeveloped. I try to do things by myself way more than I should. Is that one of your issues, or are you good at asking for help?
I can ask for help, but I think I'll assume I can do more, like you're saying. But then also, when you're stretching yourself, there's stuff you don't know. Of course you're gonna have to challenge yourself, and then some things you just will find out you can't do yourself, or that are a little bit bigger than you realize, like you say. Mm-hmm. And then you really have no option, especially if people are depending on you or to make a financial deadline or something like that. Sometimes you just have to reach out when you did not anticipate it.
Okay, so one of the areas was financially. You were running into cash flow issues. Was that for buying the dogs, the breeders, or was that for renovating the farmhouse? Where were you running? Was that where you were running financially troubled?
Yeah, we fell in love with the property so much and the lifestyle of living out there that we decided we wanted to become farmers. So we didn't just want to stick with the dogs. We decided we wanted to make a life out there. And Ryan, my husband, really found a passion for food and just good quality food that is, you know, free of all the chemicals and things that we're kind of forced to if we go the mainstream route. And so with that, we decided we wanted to raise quail and have quail eggs. And mm-hmm. so building this barn, you know, a lot of upfront costs before you can actually start making money from the business. Right. So that.
And even those cages that he built for the free range chickens and stuff, yeah. All that costs money, right?
It does.
In the meantime, you were building the farmhouse out, changing windows, and you wanted it to be very efficient as a homesteader. You wanted to make sure that your old farmhouse became a very efficient home, right? So you ended up putting in triple pane windows and geothermal heating system.
Yeah, we were actually, as I work with you, I had seen a lot about the net zero housing, and that segment you guys did really inspired me and Ryan both that mm-hmm. we wanted to, you know, if we were going to do it, let's do it for the future. We don't want to have to redo it in 10 years.
Right. So the cost was a little more. And then now recently you've sold your triplex that you had. And you did that because you wanted to do more farming than just homesteading, right?
Yes. Yeah, we wanted to we didn't just want it to be a hobby farm. We wanted it to be something full that we could offer the community, and that, you know, we believe that, like, you shouldn't have to be a homesteader to be able to live like one, to eat like one. So we, yeah.
Now, there's a cool line. Say that again.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to be a homesteader to eat like one, I think is what we – yeah, and it's true. Just like I found the passion with the chows, Ryan, through the whole experience, really found a passion for food and where food comes from and high-quality meat. So.
Mm-hmm. So I've eaten some of the chickens that he's raised. They were amazing. And now quail will be going in shortly.
Quail, yeah. Who knew? But Ryan just fell in love with quail and went off to QuailCon and learned as much as he can.
QuailCon. Is that QuailCon? Like QuailCon?
It's a real
conference thing.
It's in the States every year, and we are joking that we're going to go dressed as quail next time. But no, it's all about people who love quail and who, yeah. Right. So you can get a lot of tips and tricks from that.
Mm-hmm. So you needed some financial help. Some people loaned you some money in the shortfall periods, right?
Yep.
And then
yep.
you pay that
cash
back as the different money came in. What other help did you find you needed? Because you're living in a trailer. You mm-hmm. said that you stayed with Candace, your sister-in-law, for a month before mm-hmm. you moved into the trailer, right? Because mm-hmm. you couldn't put the trailer on the property that you didn't own yet.
Yes, exactly.
And so what other kinds of help did you have to ask for? Or did people just come? Like, do people just come to your rescue? Or do they go, they're nuts? And so you have to physically ask for help.
A combination of both at different stages. When we first got there, we had to do fencing, a lot of fencing. Our dogs were tied up for 2 weeks, which if you've ever tied up a dog, you'll know how miserable they are. And so there was that. There was, you know, just plumbing issues. We had so much we had to dig up. septic things. I don't even know the specifics. Ryan dealt with a lot of that, but he definitely had a group of guys who kind of came alongside him and people we hired for the property. And we definitely couldn't have done it ourselves. Every day there was something we were depending on, whether it be someone's expertise or whether it be guidance from someone or physically having someone come out to the farm to help us.
Yeah, because when you're doing like construction, sometimes you just can't do it by yourself. You need a couple able-bodied people to be able to lift something or
– yeah.
Because, I mean, you did insulation, electrical, drywall. You had a company come in and do the windows. But there was a lot of heavy construction work and fixing the foundation and – digging trenches to bring hydro and water back to the
Even list all the details like you say. It was just constant construction and trenches and, you know, being told like, oh, we don't have water anymore. And at one point through all the chaos, I lost my phone and it was just our dog was hit by a car. Like it was just – there was a lot going on.
Now, let's separate those. First of all, you lost your phone.
Yeah.
And where – And Ryan was using Find My Phone on the Apple app,
he wasn't.
Right?
It was just the day we had just dug up our property. So with a backhoe, like the whole area where our home is was just completely dug up into these big trenches. And so we were out there and I found out my phone was missing and we just filled in the trenches. So we were out there with flashlights trying to see if we could – calling my phone, seeing if it would light up under the dirt and –
But somebody found it on a road.
Yeah, a farmer, like, we were trying to do the Find My Phone, and Ryan and I would drive, and we'd be like, it's here, and it would just be a road with fields. And we thought, what on earth's going on? Like, we just didn't understand, and I was so stressed because we didn't have the
this
money.
This Apple thing isn't finding.
Yeah, and I thought, this is the worst timing when our cash flow's tight. I don't want to get a new phone. And we ended up getting a call from a farmer who'd been checking his fields. He lived like 20 minutes away but was checking his fields by our house and called the first person who texted me and said, you know, and anyways, so that friend called me and I ran and got my phone. And the friend who had texted me said, this is hilarious. You've got to check your message that I sent you. And, you know, my phone had been missing a week. It was out in the rain for a week and this guy found it and it was working. But I turned my phone on and the message that he'd sent me was, God's watching over you. So I had a big laugh because it was a complete miracle that. So we had a lot of miracles, like times God stepped in when there's, you know, we just needed, we were beyond ourselves. And
yeah, perfect. Well, that's sometimes you need God when you're following your passion, especially if God gave you the passion.
Yeah.
So here's a quote from Farrah Gray. Build your own dreams or someone will hire you to build theirs. Together, we're clarifying your options because when your options are clear, your wisdom will flow. We at the Decker team have enjoyed for over 35 years helping people, not only selling and buying real estate, also helping people build their finances, helping people build their self-worth, helping people build their faith, and even helping people strengthen, heal, and flourish in their relationships. 35 years of helping people build their life and their home. Now, Amber, we're going to talk about and discover the unexpected gifts of following your passion. And I know our listeners heard you say your dog got hit by a car, but we kind of left the last segment before the commercial. And people are probably wondering, what happened with your poor dog?
Yeah,
you got hit.
She's okay. She's okay. She's actually doing really well.
Yeah. So she's a black dog sitting on black pavement. Like Ryan thought she'd gone back to the pen. He was out for a walk.
She got out and within a couple seconds, she ran and lay on the road.
And a black dog on black asphalt that night is
I laughed, but it wasn't funny. It was horrible. It was so scary. You know, if you love dogs, it's one of your worst nightmares, right, to have something happen to one of your beloved pets.
So. Right. And so she was okay other than she did have a dislocated front
elbow. Yeah.
And you went to one veterinarian. They put it back in, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
Then they said, here's this very expensive surgery.
Yeah, it was going to be way more than we could afford. It's hard when you want to, you really want to, you know, look after this animal the way you want. But if it's going to put your finances in jeopardy, you know, so you can't look after the other ones you have, you know, you have to kind of make some hard decisions sometimes, right?
And now you did the research and then you called, I think the veterinarian that had done the eyelids, right?
Yeah.
She had some eyelid issues. And you said how much to do an amputation, right?
Yeah.
Because that, I had that seemed like the cheapest way of saving the dog's life.
Yeah. I had spent 3 days. I was calling all over Quebec, Ontario, other parts of Canada, the States, and the amounts were so expensive to do the surgery that wasn't even hopeful looking. It looked like it was going to be a minor chance of her not needing to have her leg amputated. So we, anyways, I did one last effort and spoke to our veterinarian, said, can you please amputate the legs? And she loves our breeding program. She knows, you know, we do all the hip tests we need. She loves the personality of our dogs, the quality. And she said, I can't stand for this 3-year-old puppy to lose her legs. So she did it at a cost that we could afford, very, very, very affordable amount. And so that was a miracle. And we had, it's interesting because Ryan, I had been all concerned, you know, I just felt sick. I felt so much guilt. You know, we stepped out on a limb to follow our dreams. And, you know, there were a lot of challenges. And this one was I felt horrible. I was like, you know, because we did this, we didn't have the same fencing we used to when this dog got out and she got hurt from it. Am I being selfish by trying to make all this happen? Like, we misguided. Is it fair of us to be, you know, doing this and branching out to try and make this happen? But anyways, it was incredible. Ryan really felt strongly God saying, I'm going to bring someone to help you, a doctor to help you. And so I spent those 3 days calling and we'd just given up hope. And then this doctor offered to do it for a very affordable amount. And it was just, it really encouraged our faith in the process, you know, and helped us through the guilt.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Now, was that one of your first dogs, breeding dogs? Or no, it wasn't your first breeding dog.
No.
It was your second? Luna?
It was our third. I've had so many. We kind of have a rule, don't count the dogs.
Okay. But at any rate, so she's running around now, her legs a little bit off, but really it's not slowing her down. I see her running around
at all.
In the fields. And
and the vet was stunned at how well the surgery went. And she said, she gave herself big pats on the back and said, you know.
Awesome. So what other lessons or unexpected things came out of following your passion that you didn't plan?
We expected the kids to be all bought into this farm. We wanted them off TV. We wanted them to have all they're interested in gardening, cooking, animals. So these were all things that this, our little homestead kind of was covering. And they found it very hard at the beginning. Again, so we had more guilt about that. But then they ended up making great friends at their new schools.
Okay, so they had to change schools as well.
They did.
So for you to make this move to a farm location, they had to change public schools or Catholic schools, right?
So they were schools. In one summer, they were losing their home, their school and friends that way and a new camper and moving into this tiny little house. So it was good, but we really got a lot of family time living in that camper together, you know, we had a lot of family time, a lot of good times over the summer learning to coexist in a much smaller space. We had a lot of opportunities to just, you know, learn to enjoy where we were together.
Okay. Awesome. So maybe you're thinking, hey, I might want to follow my passion, and you're going, well, I don't know where to begin and I don't know how much it's going to cost or what the investment is going to be. Well, reach out to the Decker team, send us an email at together@deckerteam.com. And we'd be happy to sit down and do a consultation of, you know, maybe following your passion requires a move, and moves aren't easy, but we certainly make you able to walk through all the steps of a move. So other things that you go, yes, I followed my passion, and, you know, you went through a lot of challenges It even sounds like a little guilt and a lot of some head games on where head you're games. Thinking some
definitely
some bad things about your decisions. What's showing up now that's special? Like, are you still getting support, or are other people coming along? Because I know there were naysayers at the beginning, some naysayers going, you guys are crazy.
Yes. We've had some people who were supportive, then not supportive, then became supportive again. And some people who just would pull me aside saying, you're crazy. What are you doing? This is the worst thing you can do.
Right.
But things, it takes time, right? It's a growth process. And now things are really starting to come together. I'm getting messages every day of people wanting dogs. The litters we have coming up are all pre-sold. It's amazing. I'm getting messages from people all over the world who are following our social media channels, who are loving people. Ryan with the quail, we're having people all over the states contacting us to find out about how we're setting up our barns and how we're doing. We really have a focus on humane treatment of our animals and just, you know, even providing intellectual enrichment for our birds, which sounds crazy, but you can really do that for animals, especially as, you know, we're learning more from people online and we're doing dust baths for these quail that just really never been done before in a commercial setting. So we're getting to be part of stuff that's quite cutting edge. Mm-hmm. And so we're making an impact, not just in our little area, but also it's starting to become an international thing, which is incredible.
And what's the name of your farm or your Chow Chow breeding?
The whole farm is Sun Dynasty Farm, and the dog business is Sun Dynasty Chows.
Okay, so if you want to see some super, super cute dogs, you got to jump on the Sun Dynasty Chows. And maybe you're thinking, as a family, we need to go after something that we're passionate about doing. So I challenge you to take a couple minutes, take a couple days this week, and decide if there's something that you want to follow that's your passion. And we're grateful that you joined us on Life's Inside Track, because when we move forward together, we've got this.
Moving forward with the Decker team, moving forward.